1 Samuel 17. Hallelujah. And let's read verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shoco and Azekah in Ephesdammim." I have preached numerous messages from this passage of Scripture. We can go all the way back into just a little thing called David and a big thing called Goliath, and preach from many different angles in this. I think maybe the only other passage of Scripture that I've preached from would be Genesis 1 or over concerning the prodigal son. I preached a lot about those in times past too. But I want to go back to this. Something arrested my attention Sunday morning. Sunday morning I preached about the purpose of war. Purpose of war, and the purpose of war is control. And so I'm going to preach a little sequel about it tonight. But tonight I want to talk about the law of the finite. Amen. The law of the finite. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and for your mercy, for your help today. I pray, God, that you would move in this place, that you would speak to us, and that you would minister to us. God, we can't do anything without you. God, I don't want to try to do anything without you. I am relying upon you, depending upon you. I'm expecting you, God, to do great and to do wonderful things, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Help us today. Help us today. Help us today. Help us today, Lord Jesus. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Anybody have breath here tonight? The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just make some noise for the Lord Jesus here tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We praise you and exalt you. We lift you up and glorify and honor you today, Lord. There is none that is like you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. And you may be seated here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Sunday morning, I preached about the purpose of war. The purpose of war itself being to control. We spoke about how that war is older than time itself. And that the book of Revelations gives us understanding and insight to some things that happened in heaven even before the earth was created. I guess maybe the earth was created. As a matter of fact, that's kind of the tendency that I tend to lean upon, is that the earth was created because God doesn't make trash. But yet the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, that the earth was without form, void, full of darkness. And I don't believe that God creates imperfect things, but somewhere in the process of time, the Bible does teach that Lucifer was cast down from heaven. I believe that there was a great catastrophe, a catastrophic event that happened at that particular time. But the Bible enlightens us to some things that nobody is capable of seeing, and that there was war in heaven. And the war that was in heaven was simply for the control of the throne. Amen. We understand that the Lord God of all was in control of all. And Satan, an angelic being that was created by God himself, created perfectly in all of his manners and all of his ways. The Bible said that he was created perfectly in beauty and in music. He wanted to be able to control some things and wanted the worship to go unto him. And so there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in the heavens. And the great dragon was cast out, and also his angels as well. And we also understand that there will be war even until the end of time. And we kind of spoke a little bit about that last night at prayer meeting, looking at all of the events, current events that are going on the face of the world at this point in time, thinking that we are on the verge of World War III, and then President Trump steps in and announces a peace treaty between Israel and Iran, and then less than 24 hours later saying that they both violated the peace treaty, and today I have no idea where it stands, because you can't believe any part of the news no matter what it says. But I do know what the Bible says. And the Bible says that when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Amen. Revelations chapter 13 talks about that the enemy, that it was given unto him the ability to make war with the saints. Revelations 19 talks about the end of time and the battle of Armageddon. And we know that throughout all of the Bible there was war, simply because, amen, the two greatest forces that are in the universe, which would be God and then Lucifer himself. And the Bible says that all power in heaven and in earth is given unto God. The enemy is consistently battling against the forces of God. Amen. Angelic beings, we would see that even that the angel that would come down and visit Daniel said, look, he said, there, God heard your prayer from the day one, but there has been war that's been going on in the heavenlies, and I have met spirits there, and there have been wars, and finally I received a little bit of help and was able to come down and to give you this answer. And so we must take under consideration that there are wars that are going on in heavenly places. The Bible talks about principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spirits and of this world and such. We know that the enemy himself is the prince and the power of the air. And so there is all of these, but there is also war that goes on in our little world. Also war that would go on in the big world, but in our personal war in worlds, there are wars that continually are had in our lives. There is the battle of the spiritual versus the carnal man. There is the battle of temptation, the things that God has given unto us and separated us from the world and given us victory over, but yet the devil continues to fight to gain that piece of land of ownership back. When the enemy, when the devil has gone out, when an unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none, but would go back to the place whence he was cast out and would begin to fight for that again, or just overtake it, because he sees that it is uninhabited. And so we talked about the wars, a few of the wars in the Bible. Joshua concerning the battle of Ai. I experimented around a little bit with that there tonight, just in my mind thinking about that. Say, man, can we call AI artificial intelligence and just liken this unto Joshua fighting artificial intelligence and how that it came out after him and conquered him because of sin that was in the camp? I said, you know what? That's probably a lot of truth in it, but I don't think it's a good parallel necessarily to draw. But it is interesting. And so we know of how that Joshua decided or felt to combat against it the second time and to create a trap for it and such. And then we talked about how that Goliath would stand on one side of the valley and cry out unto the Israelites on the other side of the valley and say, send me a man to fight. And we talked about that his ultimate desire was for control, that if
if you send and they conquer me, then you will control us and we will be your slaves. But if I beat him, then you will be our slaves and we will control you. And so this was the purpose of it, was to have control over this parcel of ground. And so this is where we pick up our text in 1 Samuel 17 and 1, and that the Philistines were gathered together in their armies to do battle. There was a battle that was ready to be engaged. The armies of the Philistine, amen, they were ready to put their armies in array, to set their armies into engage in battle. And the reason that they wanted to do this was for the parcel of ground that they were getting to war over, which was called Ephesdamin. There is a lot of history, amen, throughout your Bible concerning Ephesdamin. There is a lot of spiritual connotation that is connected with that parcel of ground called Ephesdamin. And I've preached about it. I've even preached about it here, and we'll get into that maybe here in a little bit. But it was a parcel of ground that was fought over many times throughout your Bible. The Interlinear Standard Bible Encyclopedia will let us know that the word, or that the town, the country, the area called Ephesdamin was the same known as Pasdamin. And so when you see in your Bible through just a Strong's Concordance search and pick up the word Pasdamin or Ephesdamin, you will see that they are one and the same, and you will begin to see all of the battles and all of the significance that is placed upon that parcel of ground. There was a purpose. There was a reason why the Philistines wanted it. There was a reason why the Israelites wanted it. One of the reasons that the Israelites wanted it was simply because God gave it to Judah as an inheritance. He said that Ephesdamin should be the inheritance of the people of the tribe of Judah. And so Judah would be like, look, I'm not giving you part of my inheritance. Just not doing it. That was given unto me, and I'm willing to fight for that. But not only was it a ground that was given unto Judah as an inheritance, but it was also very, very strategically located in that whoever would be able to control Ephesdamin would, number one, be able to have the gain, my mind is slipping me right now, and my help just vanquished, amen, out of the sanctuary, but it would give them the ability, the automatic upscale to be able to conquer. They would have, Jesus help me, somebody tell me the word I'm looking for. They would have the advantage. Thank you. Sue my brain for non-support here. Hallelujah. But the parcel of ground that the tribe of Judah would be given would give them the advantage over the enemy. Nobody would be able to come against them without being seen. Amen. The tribe of Judah, if anybody was standing guard, no matter where they would come from, amen, they would be able to see them and be able to alert and say, hey, there is an enemy that is coming. And so the Philistines wanted that land because they wanted the advantage over the enemy. There was a valley that was in between them, and the valley was just simply known as the valley or the boundary of blood. And the reason that it was known as the boundary of blood was simply because of all the bloodshed that was shed upon that particular ground, amen, due to the desire to inhabit it, due to the desire to rule it. If we've got it, we've got the advantage. I would just simply tell you today that the enemy is still trying to conquer the boundary of blood. Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. Don't act like a bunch of Baptists with me here tonight. Amen. You start acting Baptist with me, I'm going to start preaching Baptist-like. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. But I would submit to you today that the enemy is still trying to take the bloodline out and away from the church. It is because of his blood that we have remission of sins. It is because of his blood that we have healing for all of our sicknesses. It is because of his blood that we can experience justification. It is because of his blood that we understand sanctification. It is because of his blood that our sins have been washed away. It is because of his blood that we have been adopted into the family of God. It is because of his blood that his name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should confess and every knee should bow. Amen. That is because of the blood that we have the name applied to our lives and are a part of that family. Amen. I want you to know that the devil wants to take the blood away from the church. There still is power, wonder working power in the blood. It's still the blood of Jesus that can set the vilest sinner free. It's still the blood of Jesus that can clean the darkest, rankest heart. It's still the blood of Jesus that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. It is through the ability and the power of the blood. Let's love him here tonight.
Praise God. Amen. But there is a word that we use called finite. And the word finite just simply means having limits or bounds. Things that are fixed. Things that are unchangeable in total quality. Regardless of how that we use them, how that we would divide or measure them, there is a limit capacity to it. Bear with me as I would give you a couple of examples. Matter and energy in physics is finite. The total amount of matter and energy in a closed system like the universe is constant based upon the law of conservation of energy. In mathematics, there is mathematical constants. Numbers such as pi and squared are unchanging, infinite in decimal form, but constant always in value. The speed of light is finite in that it is always 299,792,458 meters per second. It is unchanging and universal based upon current physics. I would also tell you that land upon earth is finite. The surface area of the earth is fixed in total size, 197 million square miles, though through erosion or land reclamations and tectonics can redistribute that mass. Tectonics is just simply a term used in geology, measuring large-scale processes affecting the structure of the Earth's crust, such as the tectonic plates. And so we know that it is finite. Amen. There is no more land to have. Amen. I would also submit to you that the time of day is finite. Not necessarily the time of light or the time of darkness, but 24 hours is a fixed, finite moment unless we alter our definition of a day. But nevertheless, altering a definition still does not change that it takes one complete revolution of the earth around to create a day. And no matter whether we would measure that in 24 hours or 38 hours, it is still one revolution to create a day. Praise God. And so these are some examples of finite. I simply brought the text to you today because that it arrested my attention Sunday, brought back some memories to me.
And that it is such a particular ground, a spiritual particular ground in the Bible, having such significant meaning applied to it, such as the boundary of blood. But through all of your Bible, you will find different things mentioned multiple times, and it means many different things or has many different people. I would challenge you to evaluate, to compare, and to parallel the kings of Judah versus the kings of Israel when they were a split nation, and see how long that it really takes you to do that. Just simply because there were kings in Judah that had the same name as the king of Israel. And if you're not careful, you'll get them mixed up and you'll begin to think to yourself, now, I thought that this was a good guy. Now he's a bad guy. Or I thought that was a bad guy and now he's a good guy. No, it's a different guy altogether. But I submit to you today that there is one Ephes Damon. There's only one Ephes Damon to have. There's only one to gain or one to lose. There is no other parcel of ground. That was a specific parcel of ground. It was a strategic place of ground. And you could even rename it if you wanted to, which at this particular time, maybe I should add it to my study, amen, to find out exactly what it's called to this day. But nevertheless, if it should be renamed, there is only one, amen, of these areas. And it was specifically pointed out and painted out in the inherited law that God would use for his people. Amen. It is a finite area of land. Amen. Simply meaning either you have it or you don't have it. Amen. If you are the Philistines or if you are the Israelites in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, your desire and goal is to gain it so that you can possess it, that you can have the advantage of it. Amen. This particular area, we would say that fighting is for territory, and there is a purpose called advantage, amen, to gain the control over another. And the enemy knows, if I have this area, I am in control. And the children of God understood, if I have this area, then we have the advantage. Amen. Let me tell you something. That land wasn't up for the highest bidder. Amen. It wasn't up to say, who'll give me 5, who'll give me 10, who'll give me 100, amen, 1,000, do I hear 2,000, amen. It wasn't up to the highest bidder, amen, to decide who was going to get that land. It wasn't on an auction, it wasn't on a real estate sale with the price that was listed, amen, at $350,000 if you want this parcel of ground and we're going to take the best bid. No, amen, the price for that particular ground was blood. If you want that particular ground, you've got to be willing to stand up and to shed blood for that. The Philistines thought that they wanted it really bad. The Israelites thought that they wanted it really bad. But at that particular time, nobody was willing to step out and to really make a case. There was Goliath thinking and talking to himself, I'm the biggest and the baddest, I'm the champion, and if I go forward, then we can have the advantage. And who is there on the Israelites that could fight against me? Maybe Saul, who was head and shoulders above everybody. But Saul was unwilling, and so they used fear tactics to be able to overwhelm the Israelites. But the Israelites were really willing or unwilling just to back away and to say, okay, you can have it. They really did not want to fight the Philistines. But on the other side, the Philistines really did not want to fight them. And so I simply tell you, there was no neutral ground. There was no neutral ground. And you could say, oh, you know what? We're just going to remain neutral in this. There's no neutral ground because as soon as the Israelites gave an inch, the Philistines would have stepped in an inch. And if the Philistines, amen, gave a foot, the Israelites would have stepped into a foot. There was no neutral ground. They both had to have it. They both understood the importance of it. They both knew that whoever controlled the ground had the advantage. Praise God. And so to stop fighting that war was to concede and say, you know what? It's really not worth it. You go ahead and take it. Amen. And you would be fighting the rest of your life to be able to gain back that advantage. Amen. I'm here to simply preach about the law of the finite things tonight. And I want to talk about matter as in land matter or spiritual matters or conviction matters. Amen. Or gospel matters. Amen. Word matters. God matters. I want to talk about time and how that time matters. Amen. And know that we as the children of God are in a war. Whether you want to admit it or not, you would have to agree with me that from some point from Sunday night until Wednesday night, you have been tempted by the enemy to do things that even you know that you should not do. There may have been some things that you could have said, devil, that's absolutely hilarious. There is no way that I'm going to do that. Amen. And there may have been some things that you may have reconsidered and thought about. But I want you to know the devil is interested in your soul. The devil is interested in your salvation. And that's what the whole war is all about. He knows that with salvation, you're going to be saved. And without salvation, you're going to be lost. And so he's got to find something that you're willing to give a little bit in. But I tell you tonight, amen, that there is no more land to get. Amen. So I just simply submit, you're either giving or you're getting. You're either giving it away or you're gaining things. You're either retreating in the spirit or gaining in the spirit, going forward or going backwards. But there is no neutral place in this war. Praise God. There are things, amen, I could preach forever, and I don't plan to. Amen. But I could start from the very beginning. I could start from the very beginning and tell you how that repentance has really been eroded out of most churches. Amen. The work of repentance is not to be found in a lot of churches. The devil has taken that. You know how I know that? Because people are still living the same way that they lived, amen, before they quote unquote accepted Christ as their personal Savior. They were alcoholics before they did it. They're still alcoholics today. They were drug addicts before they did it. They were immoral before they did it. They were liars before they did it. They were cheats before they did it. Amen. They were perverse before they did it. Amen. They were vulgar before they did it. And they're still vulgar, perverse, cheats and liars and all of the above. Even after that, repentance is not working in their life because the devil has sold them a bill of goods. And he's taken the ground and the power of repentance, because repentance works some things out in your life. When you truly repent of things, you begin to shed the works of darkness. When you truly repent of things, you begin to get rid of the things of darkness that are in your life. The things that you know are wrong, you put behind you. You give away. You get out. You throw it in the trash. Why? Because the power of repentance. You cannot give up on repentance. Paul said, I die daily. You've got to have the ability. You've got to have the desire to find a place on a daily basis and say, God, forgive me for the things that I've done wrong. Forgive me for the things that I don't even know that I did wrong. For trivial sin, whatever it is, God, I want to be clean. But the devil says it doesn't really matter. It's no big deal. I mean, didn't you receive the Holy Ghost? I mean, haven't you prayed through before? Why do you need to repent over all of that again? Why do you need to repent daily? Why do you need to repent? And you know what? The importance of it begins to erode in our life. Amen. The winds of false doctrines begin to blow and begin to erode some things and begin to carve some things, remove some things out of our life if we're not diligent to keep putting it back and to stand fast. Amen. And to say, I'm not giving up on that. Amen. At one point in time in our lives, it was, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And there was such an urgency. I gotta be baptized. Amen. But today, amen, some of us may feel that it's just a trivial moment, a trivial matter. Amen. We just baptize people, whatever. No, we don't just baptize people. We baptize people when they repent of their sins. Amen. But also, don't be letting the devil come to you and tell you, oh, baptism didn't really matter. I know that you was baptized in Jesus' name, but you know, it doesn't really matter. Just the fact that you were baptized, it don't remember really matter how. You say, what does it matter? Because I've already been baptized. There is a power in being able to claim it. There is a power in being able to stamp your flag in the middle of that parcel of ground and say, this flag of baptism in Jesus' name, devil, that's where I got the name applied to my life, was in the waters of baptism. It's not just such a trivial thing. It's not just something I want to just do away with. Not just something I want to forget. I know, remember, recollect that I was baptized January the 28th of 1990, and it still means something to me. What about speaking in tongues? Come on. I'm talking about some finite grounds. What about speaking in tongues? Devil wants to come to you and push upon you and say, well, you talked in tongues on the day that you got the Holy Ghost, but it's not important that you ever have to do it again. You know, just go, just show up to church. Just do that. But you don't really have to push that hard. You don't have to talk in tongues. There's no need to do that. You did it once, and you're forever settled and saved, and it's okay. I lost that war, but I concede and such like that. No, you need to push. You need to push. Amen. I'm preaching to you here tonight. You need to push, because that is a ground that hell wants in your life. Amen. That hell wants to establish a flag in and say right here, amen, if I've got them to where they're not pushing to pray through, amen, on a daily basis, amen, then I'm going to be able to take a little bit more ground somewhere else. I'm going to be able to get just a little bit more. You need to push. Amen. Don't give up that ground. You need to pray until you pray through. You need to pray until you speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. Not as you have learned to do so. Not as you have decided to do so. Not as you make up to do so. But until the Spirit begins to move upon you and you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. I just ask you tonight, why is it that a drug addict can take a dose of cocaine and say, I got to have more of that when he comes down off of that high? But we as children of God experience the most euphoric high thing called the gifting of the Holy Ghost, and we just need it once. That's a lie of hell. That's a ground that I'm not willing to give up. I'm going to push, and you need to push. You need to push for personal perseverance and victory in your life, but don't let the devil take that land from you. Let's love him today. You may be here tonight and you may say, it's been a long time since I've spoken tongues. Amen. I rest my case. I rest my case. That is a ground that the devil has taken from you. There's no new ground. There's no new way. There's no other way to get it. You've got to push back and you've got to get the ground. There's no more ground to have. You're either giving it up or gaining. But you don't give this up so that you can go ahead and get this over here. For somebody that would say, it's been years, it's been months, it's been weeks since I've talked in tongues. Amen. This is exactly what I'm preaching about tonight. I'm preaching about territory. The enemy is interested in taking territory from you. The revelation of the oneness of God. The doctrine of holiness. Well, it doesn't really matter how we live, how we dress, what we do. It doesn't really matter. That's lies that hell tells you because he's fighting for that ground. Because if he can take separation and godliness and holiness away from you, he holds the advantage over your soul, over your salvation. If he can take away the power of the blood and baptism, and he can take away the power of repentance, amen, from you, and feeling that, amen, that's ground that he has gained in your life. You've got to withstand. That's what the Bible says. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Plant your feet and stand and don't give in. Praise God. Those are the easy things. Are we ready to move on to the harder things? I'm just telling you, there's a reason behind everything that the devil does. And he is going to fight the hardest where he tends to lose the most. He's going to fight the hardest over the things that I shy away to say like this, the most important, because everything is important. But that's the whole thing, is he wants you to feel like it's really not so important. I mean, really, are you willing to give blood for this parcel of ground? Are you really willing? Time is finite. 24 hours in a day. Most people would say, you know what? I don't have time to pray like I really need to pray. But we have time for everything else. Come on. We've got time for anything and everything that we want to do. We got time for devices. We got time for Facebook. We got time for all of these other things, and we may not have time to pray. That's the devil. That's the devil. Fighting for that parcel of ground. Time lost is never regained. That's another thing that is finite, is your past. You cannot go into your past. There is a boundary. You cannot go into your past and change something. You cannot go. If you're building a habit and you're like, man, I've went for 35 days doing this and you miss one day, you cannot go back to that day and redo it so that you can have 36 days. It's broken. It cannot be redone. Moments and opportunities of prayer that are lost are forever gone. And the devil stands in triumph and he's tallying it up. On a daily basis, Monday, Tuesday, well, Wednesday, they went to church for some pre-service prayer, but they didn't really pray. Say the pastor's on it tonight, huh? I am trying to simply expose the enemy. Because I feel in my spirit that we are on the verge of such great and powerful revival. And that is the purpose and the reason that we are fighting such resistance. Amen. I may be off in la la land, but I don't look around and just take things for granted. I fight the devil daily just as you fight it, and maybe sometimes harder, and you is sometimes harder than I do. Amen. But I and you and we must never take anything for granted. You've got lost loved ones. I've got lost loved ones. We've got friends in this vicinity. We've got neighbors that need God. Amen. And every time that we go without telling them about God is a time that will never be recollected, never be gained again. It is forever lost. Amen. The time that you break, oh, feel the Holy Ghost here. The time that you break your witness with your family. Amen. And you show your family that things aren't as important as you once said. Amen. They can not be redone. And when you go back to invite them to the house of God or tell them why God is so important, the devil stands there with his flag in the ground and says, a few weeks ago it wasn't so important, was it? Yeah. I want to see people saved. I want to see it happen. Amen. You must understand that, amen, there is no neutral ground in this war with the enemy. Amen. The enemy is constantly battling for every little, minute, insignificant, trivial little thing that we decline or we define, amen, as small and insignificant and trivial. Amen. The devil's saying, I'll take that, and I'll take that too, and I'll take that, and I'll take just a little bit here, and give me just a little wiggle room here and a little wiggle room here and stuff, and look at everything that I've taken. Amen. And the whole time we're just edging and giving and giving and giving. You're either giving or gaining. There is no new ground to take. And so somewhere or another, you've got to put your shoulders forward, and you've got to begin to resist the devil. Isn't that what the Bible talks to us about? Amen. To resist the devil, to submit ourselves, therefore, to God, and to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. We got to begin to push back. Amen. The enemy says, knock this one out. I got an hour of your prayer time over here. Amen. You got to push back and say, I got an hour back. Amen. You don't get that hour that was lost. It's forever gone. But you can't continue to lose moments of time. You can't continue to not pray, because every time that you don't pray, the devil's gaining just a little bit, just a little bit. And he's going to get you to begin to depend upon your own good deeds instead of being working in the Spirit. You look at yourself and you say, well, I didn't get a chance to pray today. And the devil says, but you didn't cuss. Oh, you know what? I didn't cuss. You didn't lie either. No, I didn't lie. See, you don't have to pray. Maybe I am kind of good. And the next day, he does it all over again. What did Paul say? It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but we can't depend upon those things. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. I got talking about this last night at prayer meeting. I said, I don't think that it's just a coincidence that on Wednesday nights we're averaging some 15 to 20 people absent, 12 to 17 people absent almost every Wednesday night. That's when we do our teaching and stuff. But the devil's saying, I don't want you to hear teaching. I don't want you to have teaching, because teaching strengthens you. Teaching puts something in you. I just want you to have a little fluff cotton candy on Sunday night. I'll let you feel good on Sunday night. But on Wednesday night, you're going to be too busy. You're going to be too tired. You're going to be too sick. You're just not going to feel like it. You may think that that's trivial, but the devil doesn't care what you think about it. Trivial, insignificant, doesn't matter. He doesn't care. He'll take it. I said, he'll take it. What matters? What matters? If I pulled attendance records up, you know what I would say? I said, we've got numerous people that have missed 30 and 40%. We've got people that's missed 50 and 60% of all services. And you know what? If I went to those people and said, you know what? You've missed 43% of every service this year. They'd be like, dude, what? You're kidding me. That's the way the enemy works. That's the way the enemy works. Just blind you. You really haven't been missing that much church. It's really not a big deal. It's really not that. That's the way the enemy works. If he can take an hour of prayer time, he will. If he can take a day of church, he will. If he can take this, he will. If he can take that, he will. Because there's no new ground to take. You're either giving or gaining. But there's no neutral ground in it. It's finite. It's finite. And I'd be so bold and brash to say that sometimes it's just a matter of getting to church late. And I know we all fight it. And I know that there are times that there's just simply no way. We just can't do it. But the devil wants that to be the accustomed, the norm. And it's no big deal to show up 5 minutes late for prayer. I mean, it's only prayer. Devil said, I'll take that. Because if you show up 5 minutes late, by the time you get in and get settled and all that other stuff, I've got another 5 minutes. Well, it's the truth. But you see here, you know what the devil's doing tonight? The devil, number one, is putting pressure on me. Don't say it. Don't say it. You're going to make them mad. You're going to make them upset. Don't say it. And you know what that tells me? It needs to be said. When the devil says, you don't need to say that, then that's really when it needs to be said. And so then the devil is trying to stir up dissension and contention and all these other things and stuff and trying, oh, he's just preaching just at me. I'm not preaching at anybody. I'm preaching at the devil. I'm trying to turn a light on into all of our lives so that we can see. And the reason that I see that and the reason that I feel that and the reason that I sense that is because I feel that we are on the verge of such a great revival. You say, well, how can you say that? I don't see anybody. That's why I'm saying it. The devil only fights the hardest when he knows it's the closest. And when he sees that a church is getting ready to break through, he's calling every imp of hell up and he's saying, all arms up to the front, and everybody's pushing, and he's saying, make them have a bad service. And the children of God are saying, well, it's just one bad service. It's okay. That's a service that'll never be redone. It's over. Amen. But it's still got to be gained. If there's a mile, amen, to gain before revival, now we got 1.1. Somewhere or another, the church has got to get the revelation, the burden, the inspiration, the anointing, and put their shoulders to it and say, I'm not willing to give this service up. I'm not willing to just let this service go by. I'm not willing to get through all of this. Amen. I am determined to push, amen, until I see you've got lost loved ones that are depending upon your verge, amen, upon the way that you wore in the Spirit. Praise God. I would hate to be sitting in the pew right now hearing a voice saying it's really not that big of a deal. Because if you hear that voice saying it's really not that big of a deal, Satan is sitting a little bit too close to you. He ought not to feel comfortable talking to you like that. He ought to know that stuff like this is going to rally you and cause you to stand up and to fight. He does not want you, amen, to get riled up. Amen. And if he figures that you're going to get riled up, he may back off and give. And that's exactly what we want him to do. But yet he's standing on the other side with a big bad voice, amen, and some 9 to 10 foot giant saying, amen, if you fight me and lose, we control you. But if you win, then you'll control us. Hogwash. That ain't ever going to happen. He's just going to find another place to fight. Because they fought over Ephes Damon with David. They fought over Ephes Damon with David. They fought over Ephes Damon with David. They fought over Ephes Damon with Shammah. They fought over Ephes Damon a lot of times. Because the devil knows just how important this is. What is this about? It's about salvation. Convictions. Can I talk to you? We're done. You can go ahead and come to the music. Convictions that you used to have, but now they're no longer a big deal, I encourage you to go back and reevaluate them. And I will be the first to say there are some things that in the past I did not do that I may do now. And I want to say very carefully that I feel wiser, that some of the things that I may have made decisions on about were affected and influenced by somebody or something else. If it's a conviction, a standard of the church, I want to stand strong with it. If it's a personal conviction that I have, I want to stand strong with it. But you see, when the devil gets you to tear down barriers and things in your life, he knows that with a little bit of pressure, you'll tear down something else too. And he knows that if you'll give a little bit in this area in life, he knows that you'll give in other areas because you're accustomed to giving. But when you won't give, then he's got to hunt and peck. But if he sees that a little bit of busyness is going to take away your prayer time,
he's going to sell you a whole lot. If he can see that a little bit of tiredness is going to cause you to sit down and by the wayside and stuff, he's going to overwhelm you with tiredness. Whatever it takes, he's willing to give it because he wants that parcel of ground. You cannot give it up. You can't give up your Bible reading. You can't give up your prayer time. You can't give up coming to church. You can't give up holiness. You can't give up faithfulness. You can't give up separation from the world. Because everything that you give is gone unless you fight to get it back. But there's no new ground. There's no new ground in this war. You say, well, I thought that we're trying to gain new ground. It's ground that the devil has. And we'll have to fight to get it. But we're not going to get new ground giving up our ground. It's finite. We're gaining or giving. There's really no way that we can give and gain. You can't do that. I know that the enemy would like to barter some things and say, if you'll give me this, I'll give you that. Be very, very careful. I would submit to you that what he will give you, listen to me tonight, the things that he has to offer you are the things that are created in him perfectly. Being created in him perfectly, he knows how to manipulate it. He will take your separation and give you pride in some form, in some way, in some fashion. He'll give you pride and vanity because he knows the epitome of beauty. He'll take something from you and he'll give you music. Music is his way. Why? Because it's God's way. It's God's way. God created that to be the ladder, to be the way that we worship him. It was created perfect in Lucifer. And so he manipulates it. And he'll take something from you and he'll give you a way convenient for worship. I have seen the rankness of different kinds of music. Tacoma, Washington, 2006, July the 4th. Standing there on the beach of the Puget Sound. Karaoke tent over to the side. Lady was over there singing some type of country song. Some other guy was singing some other song at a different time. Some guy got in there and started singing a rap song. And there was a completely different spirit that immediately changed, and it turned into a riot, a literal riot. They climbed up on top of pickups and began to cave in the top of pickups. The police came and they shot bottle rockets at the police. The police left and came back in riot gear and vans and stuff and got out, and we was able to make it and to get out before it got super crazy, all because of a measure or a method of music. The devil knows how to do that. Why do you think that there's oftentimes so many problems on the platform? Through pride and through music. It's really what it is. It's what he knows is, and he has is the best. He knows it. And so he jeopardizes it. Taints it. We got to stand against that. We can't be willing to give in to that. I'm going to be unwilling to give my prayer time. I came into the sanctuary today and just thinking and praying and said, you know what, God? My prayer life is a mess right now. I'm on the go so much. I have so many things running through my mind. I'm running to Hutchinson, coming back, tired. It's just too easy to forgo stuff. So you know what? Some places this got to stop. It's got to stop. It ain't going to stop in your life unless you're willing to first admit it and say, hey, here's a problem. I gotta stand. I got to fight against this. It's every one of us. You know how I know? Because none of us are in heaven yet. And as long as you're breathing, the enemy's going to be fighting you. Just give. Just give. Give just a little. Just a little. It's just prayer meeting. It's just outreach. It's just Wednesday night. It's just give. It's finite. I'm either given ground that belonged to me, or I'm gaining ground that the devil had. It's the law of the finite. Time lost can't be recaptured. It's gone. But you can't cry over it. Stand up and reclaim some things that the devil has taken. Let's stay in here tonight. These are things such as time that we'll never have again. Things such as revelations that need to be taken back. It's the law of the finite. The law of the finite. And the devil knows it. If you have a little partial of ground and he takes a little bit of it, you have a little less than you had. And it won't be long before he'll have everything. Don't play games with it. Get back to an altar. Samson, shake yourself. Shake yourself. You're losing ground. Shake yourself and get back in the fight. Change. Get back some ground.